Good morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Dave Kendall, and I'm the Director of Career Networks in the Center for Community Engagement, just across the way over here. We're really excited about today. This year's Community Engagement Fair is special because we've received support and sponsorship from vibrant communities. I'd like to take just a moment and give them a big round of applause. We feel honored to be partnered with Vibrant Communities, and we are thrilled to help them celebrate the Year of the Volunteer, which spotlights people who go the extra mile in their communities. And we're really excited about this. So for the Community Engagement Fair today, which you should all make sure you go to just down the hallway after convocation, we have 42 partners, organizations from the area, and even further away, we have people from Chicago and Philadelphia here today, all to meet you. And so we're really super excited about that. It's really important to network this way because it gives you a real sense of what kind of services we have in our area too. And so get out there and network. The other thing that, and this is from a career networks perspective, from a career perspective, it's really important to know what kind of services are available in the community, and it's just a great opportunity to network, and there's potential to land your internship and get some volunteer hours today as well. So the other thing I want to point your attention to before we get into our wonderful convocation today is that there are posters around campus, and these posters have a QR code on them, and the QR code is really important because it gives you an opportunity to engage with the partners in the fellowship hall, but it also gives you an opportunity to be in the raffle. So we're going to be giving some really great prize baskets away during the event. And those are going to be, I'll show you in just a moment, but those are going to be kind of on a schedule throughout the day. But you have to fill out, you need to go and scan the QR code, and the QR code takes you to a form. Have you all had experience with a Google form before? Okay, so I hate to, you know, give you another one, but this one's special because if you do this Google form and submit it, it does put you in the running for our prize giveaways. And so you want to make sure that you follow all the directions. One of the main things that you have to do is you have to take a selfie with one of the people that you talked with. And we are looking for quality responses, and so take your time with this part. We are giving away 9 prize giveaway baskets that were made up from products from Goshen and Elkhart businesses, and we're really excited about that. 9 of those, and they're in order to know whether you win or not, and I think we've put up 2 winners already this morning. There was one at 9:30, and we're going to do it all the way down to 12:20. The last one is going to be a prize basket for a community member, but the other 9 are for students, and so we really expect you to go to the fair, engage, but also fill out that form so that you can be a winner. You're all winners, really, but you really want to be a winner today, all right? So I am very pleased to turn the convocation over to the Executive Director of the Center for Community Engagement and my good friend, Sunitha Millsaps. Thank you.
Good morning, Goshen College. Good morning, Goshen College.
Good morning.
We got guests here, so we got to really show out today so they'll know they have, when they're looking for people to come work at their spots, they'll be like, that's a good crop over there. So we're going to say this again. Good morning, Goshen College.
Good morning.
We're going to have to work on this. We're going to need a little practice, I think, but that's okay. We are excited to be with you again this year. The Community Engagement Fair has become and probably will be continue to be our premier event through the Center for Community Engagement because it allows us to invite the community here on campus and gives each and every one of you an opportunity to really work at what is at the heart of Goshen College, a culture of service. And so we really hope that you will go over, you will meet people, and if you're not already engaged in our community, you will start and become and get engaged with many of the organizations that are here with us. We want to start off right now with our award to our this year's 2024 Vibrant Student Volunteer. Her name is Sarah Lopez Ramirez.
Thank you.
When we invited people to share and to send information, we had a couple of different people who suggested Sarah. And she's doing great, amazing work in her community. She'll talk a little bit about that when we all sit down and talk here. We are just so grateful. But remember, this is just the first year. And so we are hoping all of you who are doing work in the community will make it known so we too can look to you and award you in the coming years as well. Sarah, thank you again for the great work you're doing in our community. Now I want to introduce you to our panel, who is coming up also to speak with Sarah. They're going to talk with us today about service and the service they do and offer to the community and have been offering to the community as well. Our first guest is Yolo Lopez DeMarco. She is the founder of Yolo Vox, a bilingual multimedia firm that assists companies and organizations with Spanish marketing, translation, advertisement, and broadcasting services. So welcome, Yolo. I also meant to say that these are also Goshen College alumni, and Yolo is the class of 2012. And our next guest is Councilman Arvis Dawson. He is currently a councilman at large. He has served over 20 years as a council person in the city of Elkhart. He was also an educator for 31 years in Elkhart. And so he also is gonna talk a little bit more about that. I will also say that Arvis was my seventh grade teacher and seventh grade basketball coach. So I always thought that was pretty cool as well. So thank you, and let's get started. All right, so I'm gonna ask some questions of all of them, and then some things I'm just gonna ask them specifically to talk about. But this one is for all of them. And I would like for you to tell us about a time where you knew you were doing great work, or something that compelled you to continue the work that you were doing. And we'll start. It doesn't matter, whoever's ready, you can start.
Oh, okay. That's a very filled question, because one of my passions is to bridge gaps in the community. I naturally have always loved to help people and to connect different organizations and communities together. So the very first time that I felt like a firm, you know, I know that this is where I'm supposed to be, this is where I want to dedicate my time. I've been to so many different places. I've helped so many areas. One of them was when I moved to Costa Rica and Panama. So I lived in Central America after graduating college for a couple of years, and I founded my own ministry with a little neighborhood that I found of that had a lot of need, a lot of kids without clean water in Panama specifically. And so that was the very first time that I knew in my heart that I loved helping and serving communities.
Awesome.
Well, you said great work. I never thought of any work I do as great. So I had to think about that. I think I do what I do because I feel like I'm supposed to do what I do because someone did it for me. And working with kids more than anything has been probably one of the most rewarding things I've done. So when I can look at kids like yourself and say, oh, she's become successful in our community. She came back to our community. That gives me a great feeling where I can do that. And I've done that generationally. I've had your kids in school and your grandkids in school. So when I look at it that way, I'm thinking that's let me know that I'm having an impact. I don't know how great it is, but it's very rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah.
I think the time I knew was I had the premiere for my small documentary that I did for the Latino community. And afterwards, there was a lot of people coming up to me and saying that it meant a lot to them. It was highlighting Latina businesses. And a lot of Latinas came up saying that they cried during it or that they felt very proud of their community, and that meant a lot to me.
That's cool. That is really cool. It is. I like the fact that you talk about, oftentimes we don't realize the impact that we're making, and so it wasn't until other people said how important it was that you realized the importance of it. Thank you for that. So would each of you tell me of a time where you were doing some work, and it didn't work out, and you had to walk away, or it caused you extra stress, or, are there times where that has happened as well?
I haven't walked away, but there are times, in fact, my church, where I am the head trustee, and I believe I'm doing what's God's work, but sometimes the secular part of me is like, what am I really doing here? Why am I doing this? Because it's not going the way that I think it should. And then I have to reflect back. It's not about me. It's not about the way that I think it should go, but it's about the mission that's been put on me to ensure that my church survives. And while politics is something, church politics is something else. So if you've ever had to deal with that, it's do it in a godly way, where when I'm in city politics, I can just tell you exactly how I feel the way I want to tell you. And in church, I have to be very cautious in what I say and what I do. So it's frustrating, but I would never walk away, because I'm doing it because I believe that's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow. I would say for me, I really like to take seriously the commitment when I get invited to join a board or a committee. So I always ask, what is the time requirement? How many terms do I need to serve? And I have 3 girls, 10, 9, and 2. And one of the recent boards that I joined was a Tolson board, where I met Sunitha. And I was chosen to lead the project management team. And even though I had no experience, the consultant said, "We know you can do this. So help us pick the people, the construction people, the interior designers." And so I did my research, and I loved serving on the Tolson board. But as I had my baby, this last one, the 2-year-old, I went into major postpartum depression. I remember calling Sunitha and saying, "I'm really trying to hold on. I don't want to come off this board. But if I can just be really transparent with everybody, once you have kids as a mom and working and the demands of life really, really got hard." And so this has been the saddest one that I recently had to step down from, which is why I was just sobbing in tears when we did the ribbon cutting, because I really wish I would have finished through. But I knew my mental health needed to come in first, and my family.
I think the only thing I can think of for volunteering at the church, I did Sunday school for the kids. But some Sundays got really difficult with school. Maybe I wouldn't have time to prepare for the lesson, and then it felt wrong to teach them if I hadn't really prepared. So there was times I had to say, "Could someone else do it for me?" So.
Thank you all, because I think it's really important for those that are doing service that everything doesn't work out as we plan. And it's okay at times where we have to step back. It's okay at times where we just get angry, right? That things aren't going quite the way we may have hoped it would go. So we don't want people going into service thinking everything is going to be lollipops and gumdrops, because it won't be, right? So Sarah, tell us a little bit about the work you actually do with your church and where you volunteer.
So it's a mix of both, from my film career and just helping out at the church. But for film, I've recently been doing 2 documentaries. One was about Latina businesses, and the one that I'm currently working on was through Maple Scholars, that highlights Latino immigrants in the community of Elkhart and Goshen, and their experiences of maybe feeling stuck in the community, without being able to take most of the opportunities that the general public can take. So I'm currently working on that. And the other side for the church, I help with the children ministry with Sunday school or activities that they have for the girls, usually camps or plans that we have for them after school.
The award, the Vibrant Volunteer Award, helped her to receive as well a scholarship, a cash award, as well as for her and for the ministry that she served as well. And so again, these are all really good reasons why we want to share what we do so other people can get ideas and hopes as well, but it also can bring awareness to the ministries that we are serving in. And it's really great to hear that you are doing this documentary about the immigrant experience here. So thank you for that. Yeah. Yolo, talk to us a little bit about being a woman of color, owning your own business. You've talked a little bit about the fact that sometimes you have to step away from things, but talk to us a little bit about work-life balance in the reality of volunteering, being a mother, working, et cetera.
Ooh, I could go for 2 hours on that topic, so you'll have to invite me to come back on that one. I'm so glad you asked, because life definitely doesn't go as you planned. We can do our best to kind of scope out where we want to go. We have our careers, we have an internship lined up, a job lined up, whatever the situation may be. But life is a roller coaster, I've learned. And the best thing I have learned over the years, and I was actually writing about this last night, journaling, is knowing how to cope with it. So setting boundaries, knowing when it's family time, when it's work time. I own my own business. I'm in my fourth year. But it's challenging being a female and being a mother and being a wife and a daughter and a friend. I joke to my friends and I tell them, okay, I am a low demand friend. Expect to not hear from me for 6 months, but then still love me when I say, hey, want to go out to dinner the next day. Because as females, we need to have each other's back. We need to support each other. We need to not have such a high demand because there's so many things happening. So that would be my answer, is create those boundaries. I know that if I say Mondays is a day that I work on YoloVox for 8 hours, then that's all that YoloVox gets on Monday. And Tuesdays, I hang out with my kids for 4 hours, and that's what they get, unless they're sick, of course. So boundaries, big.
You said, do you advocate community-wise for this understanding for women as well? And the reason why I say that, there are a lot of women who have stepped now into new roles, leadership roles, but because they still have the responsibilities at home, family, it's not the same as back in the day when there was a man who could go off and do it. And so our world has changed. Do you speak with women about how to handle those?
Yes. So one of the things as a female that I consider, when I consider joining a committee, is number one, does it reflect what matters to me? I think that's super important. And because I can love every type of non-for-profit that we have here today, but I only have so much energy to give in quality to the non-for-profit or the people that we're serving. So that's the number one thing I tell women is check yourself. You know, what is the thing that matters to you the most? And can your energy be divided between what this specific organization requires of you, what this position requires of you, and what your kids and your husband requires of you?
Thank you. Thank you. Arvis, talk to us a little bit about the move between education and politics. Were there similarities? Are there things that you like about both? Because it's interesting to me see a teacher go to become a politician.
Well, I was a middle school teacher, so I'm very familiar with adolescent behavior. So sometimes at council meetings, I witness adolescent behavior. I know how to deal with it. But at the same time, especially in a city the size of Elkhart, as an educator, like I've said, I've seen generations of kids come through my class and become quality community members. And politics, working in government, you can actually see projects. Towson Center, in 1988, probably before some of you were even born, Mayor Jim Perrin and I was sitting in this living room, and we were talking about building a center on the south side of Elkhart. And we found Abshire Car Wash. We talked about it. We found funding. We made it happen. So those things are very rewarding. When someone can call you, you can direct them, you can empower them to help them with a situation. That helps a lot. And those same people are sometimes people I've had in school, so I have a relationship with them. It's empowering for me as an elected official to believe that what I'm doing is what I was elected to do. I try to reflect a lot on that in comparison with what I do in school as far as making sure my lesson plan is together with what I do in the city, making sure my game plan is together for the city of Elkhart. So there are some similarities, especially with the adolescent behavior.
As you look at the city of Elkhart now and where it's going, are you excited about the work that you guys have coming up, or do you feel challenge ahead of you?
It's challenging and exciting. It's an opportunity for us to actually do some formative things in Elkhart. We have some Tolson Center being one of the great projects, South Main Street being another, River District. So you see all those things happening, and we're evolving. And the hardest thing for me is to explain to people that change. People don't like change. And if you live in Elkhart, we have a street right now called Jackson Street where everybody complains about it's too narrow because it makes you slow down. Well, that's why it's narrow, because we want you to slow down. And learning about urban planning and trying to explain that to people is difficult. We are very fortunate that we are financially stable. We're kind of the envy of some of our other sister cities around the state, that we have a great bond rating and able to do things. And we have a very, very, very philanthropic community where we do a lot of public-private partnerships together. And that's what makes a community great, when you can do those type of things together.
I am one that absolutely hates Jackson Street. Just saying. Hate that street. But yeah. So is there a person, why or whom do you serve for? Why do you serve? Whom do you serve for?
I serve because I think it's what the Lord would have me do. That's why I do it. My mom was somewhat of a volunteer. I guess I didn't know it at the time, but as I look back on it, you know, she was always volunteering to do this or that. And I've had people in my life who volunteered for me, my little league baseball coaches, different people who have volunteered just to help raise me. So when I look back at that, I believe everybody should be doing that. And it took me about 10 years after I graduated from Goshen to realize what culture for service was and what it means. And I truly understand that. And this institution is founded on that and works to make sure that happens. So, yeah, somebody did it for me, and I feel like I need to do it for somebody.
So I serve because I know that there are gaps. And, you know, the gaps here in our local community may not be like what I saw in Panama when I lived over there. The exaggeration of, you know, the need for water and food and just basic health needs. But here, you know, sometimes people need shoes, sometimes people need clothing, sometimes people need counseling. So the need is always there. We're human beings, and if there's something that I've learned in life is we're humans, and if we can support one another, you know, we're gonna feel great, we're gonna help them feel great, and we're all gonna move on forward.
Primarily, I think it's because God has given me the opportunity to help in these areas, so I should continue to help in whatever I can. And secondary would be I want the voices of Latinos in the community to be heard, and the platform that I work with is film, so I want to continue to use that to have their voices heard.
Great answers. So the last question I have for all of you is, what advice or particular call would you give to many of the young leaders out here today? What advice or particular call would you give?
I would say, do what you like doing. Do what you like to do. Fortunately for me, I've had three jobs in my life, and they say if you like your job, you never work a day in your life. And I've never felt like I've worked because I've done what I wanted to do. Even when I volunteer, it seems like I always land in a place where it's something I want to do. And so if there's a passion you have, you should seek that out as a volunteer. And if something you're interested in, you should seek it out as a volunteer as well. But for me, it's doing what you like to do.
I would piggyback on that. Do what makes you flourish, what makes you feel like you're thriving, because there's something really interesting that I also figured out recently in my life is volunteering somewhere may lead to a job. Sure, it can lead to working at that organization, but it can also give you fresh ideas on starting a business or starting your own not-for-profit or partnering with other people. It gives you a different perspective and it opens your eyes to different things that you can do in the community. So first, just focus on what your passion is and how you can get paid to do that eventually. Because if you're happy, you're not even gonna feel that it's work.
I agree with both of you. I think it's just finding what you love the most and finding little areas that can, yeah, you can share that with others. The little areas that you enjoy and help others with that, it won't even feel like work when you're following your passion.
That's great. And you can tell Goshen College puts out some amazing young people. So Sarah, this upcoming class year, will graduate this year, class of 2012 and class of 76. Let's give a round of applause to our guests. Now, don't forget, we have a whole lot of our community members over in the fellowship hall. Click that passport, win a basket. Again, a special thank you to CCE's team led by David Kendall. Thank you all.